you might. Oh no. I've got the biggest, fattest heart of gold.
That's Sonia in Disappear Fear, singing about the biggest, baddest heart. That's from their new album, Blood, Bones, and Baltimore, and I just love that album, and I love that artist. This is J.D. Doyle with Queer Music Heritage, and I think Sonia Rutstein has contributed a lot to our music heritage. This month, I'm going to let her tell you her story, and since I'm so thorough, this is another two-part show. Part one will cover the new CD, and then the history and some of the music of the band Disappear Fear. And part two, found on my website, will pick up around 1998, when Sonia started releasing solo recordings, billed as Sonia of Disappear Fear. Before we get to the new album, I'll give a quick intro and say that Disappear Fear was primarily Sonia and her sister Cindy Frank, and they toured together the first 10 years until Cindy opted to devote her time to motherhood. She has over the years continued to contribute to the studio recordings. This is also a good time to mention that Sonia and Disappear Fear is one of the most honored acts in our community. During the time the GLAMA Awards, the Gay and Lesbian American Music Awards, were in existence, Sonia and or Disappear Fear were nominated for 9 awards, winning 3. Only Michael Callan, Katie Curtis, and the Indigo Girls received as many nominations and wins, and Sonia was nominated for 3 Out Music Awards, winning 1. But on to Sonia to talk about the new release, their 13th CD, Blood, Bones, and Baltimore.
The new CD is the most organic studio CD we've ever released. We recorded 80% of it in one day. We got going about 10:30 in the morning, and about 11 or so that night I drove home with what was 8 songs of what you're hearing now on the radio. It was thrilling, and it's blues, it's Americana, it's kind of the most rootsy CD I've ever made, so that's why I'm calling it organic, and kind of wanted to get a great sense of everybody's participation with it, not just my own.
What was the inspiration for the new album?
I don't know. I mean, I love the blues. It's something that's grown more with me lately. You know, it's really just challenging myself in different directions, and the blues are really a genre that work in any medium. That is, I'm traveling and performing in countries, touring in countries that where English is not the first language, and yet the blues give people a sense of, you know, I get an immediate sense of connection in the room, and you know, and that's why I'm there. So it's cool. It's cool. I love the way they transcend the it transcends the languages.
To a lot of people, this will be a little different sound for you. What's the reaction been?
It's been great. It's been really good. Like, whoa, you know, it's been very, very positive. It's still so new, so it's hard to, you know, gauge what, you know, in a year from now or 2 years from now, I'll have a much better picture of how well it's going to fly. But so far, it's doing really good. Very positive responses.
Is there a song that so far seems to be getting the most attention?
Really two. One of the songs, I would say is Packa Newport for the blues part. Another song that's completely different really from the blues genre. It's really more of a singer-songwriter ballad, and that's the song Who I Am. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback on that one. But that's a much more what I would consider, if there was a standard Sonia song or Disappear Fear song, that's really more of the constant vein of my writing.
I think my favorite is Packa Newport. Could you talk about that?
Oh, cool. they're different sort of things that fed into that becoming a song. One was that I was a smoker in my early 20s, and that was my brand, that I smoked, and quitting was really not easy at all. I smoked, I guess, between 1 and 2 packs a day. But singing and smoking for me really wasn't an option, so I had to quit. And so I did, and what I would do is I started running, and I would reward myself with a Newport cigarette at the end of my runs when I first started. And it was like, whew, it was really, really powerful. So there was that. So then all these years later, I'm running, and I'm seeing these like crumpled up, you know, you see trash, and a frequent trash item I see on my run is a crinkled pack of Newport, of smoked Newports, which is the wrapper. And during a run, about a year ago or so, that song came to me while I was running, like, I want to be your pack of Newports. And then just playing with that as my metaphor, just knowing how the whole sense of like the dire, the desperation and the sense of, you know, dire addiction, really gave the song, you know, from my personal experience, that and a blues format was the perfect place to put it. I wanna be, and I really wrote most of that melody on my run. Came back and figured it out on the guitar.
Well, I was very impressed with that song in particular. I remember listening to it, and when it was over, I just said, "Wow, what a perfect blues song! I can just hear Irma Thomas singing that."
Cool. Wow, wouldn't that be something?
I wanna be your pack of Newport, living in your pocket, close to your heart. I wanna be.
Talk about the song, Don't Make Me Wrong.
Don't make me. I think once you're in a relationship or trying to start a relationship, you always second, third, and, you know, millionth guess it. And, you know, yourself, just because of the ups and downs and the difficulties that, you know, when you try to take a romantic love and build a lifestyle around that and a partnership around that, it's complicated and it's difficult. And it's like you think, what the heck am I doing sometimes?
Don't want to give my heart away. I think about you every day. This love's more than I can take. Don't want to give up everything. The wedding bells, the diamond ring. This kind of love you can't fake. Don't make me wrong for loving you. And triple the price, and I have tried time after time to be kind, but now I know I just have to let you go. It wouldn't be right to hold on to a lie. Don't wanna give my heart away. I think about you every day. This love's more than I can take. Don't wanna give up everything. The wedding bells, the diamond ring. This kind of love you can't fake. Tall as an ant, sitting high in the sand. Not see me, though I was waving back at you. Little did I know you always had other plans. Now I understand. You walk right by and hardly remember my name. That hurts too much. Be on fire and burn by your flame. You did not notice my pain when I dressed in my best dress. Right then, right there, I knew I failed the love test. Don't make me wrong. You.
Please talk about the song You Got Me.
That's really kind of a song that reaches out in terms of reassurance that, you know, I'm going to be there for you, like no matter what. That's what that's about. You know, it's funny to talk about these songs because they're really pretty in-your-face, kind of. I didn't really encase these songs or cloak them, whatever, in some sort of mysterious metaphor. I am guilty of that in some songs somewhere. I think these are pretty straightforward, and they're really real.
Well, the blues are not really subtle.
No, you're absolutely right.
Staring at the bottles and please look again, baby. You got me. You made the same mistake. No, the bad heart break. You thought love this time would be easy. Oh,
crying all the time again. Stop whining and you'll fear again. Baby, you got me.
That's the new album.
Yeah.
Let's go back to some history. Tell me about your first band.
Wow. Well, the first trio I was in was actually in the third grade with a couple of friends, Sabrina Nass and Terry Rosen. We did Young Girl. Why, I don't know. I love the song, but I think we did it really badly. And at a talent contest. And I think we came in second, so that didn't go so well. Then I had a band, I think would be considered, my first real band was a band called Sonia and the Night Band. And it was also a trio, but this time it had bass and drums. And we did play some in Baltimore and in D.C., but pretty short-lived. I just remember rehearsing in the building that became, that was the 930 Club, and schlepping our stuff up these steps when the elevator didn't work, and it was no air conditioning in the hot summers in the 80s. It was tough. And then there was a band I had called Exhibit A that was a trio and then a quartet. And then my sister came to join that band. Actually, you know what? I'm skipping a band. There was a band called Girl Friday right before Exhibit A. Exhibit A kind of broke off from Girl Friday. Anyway, when Cindy came to join my band, Exhibit A, and I think she just sort of like blew everything out of the water, so the band broke up, and Cindy, that was the birth of Disappear Fear, because Cindy and I were really serious about doing music and doing it full time everywhere we could, and recording, and, you know, the whole deal. So we did, and that was the beginning of Disappear Fear.
Was Cindy in Girl Friday?
No. Cindy was in Exhibit A for a short amount of time before the band imploded.
Okay, so she wasn't in that cool video of Back to Back.
No, she wasn't in that. No, she wasn't.
I asked Sonia about the video of Girl Friday doing Back to Back because it's included on Sonia's DVD called Happy Birthday, Sonia, as a bonus video, a rare treat from her history from 1984. Now remember, this was a fairly early recording, so don't be too hard on the sound quality, but I still wanted to share with you a little bit of it.
What was the genesis of the name Disappear Fear?
I was working at the Baltimore Center for Victims of Sexual Assault, and they were looking for a new name for the center, something a little bit snappier. So I came up with the Disappear Fear Center because when someone is assaulted and abused, really they become, a person becomes very, very scared of their world, and I thought that a way to kind of get their lives back, get their confidence and empowerment back, would be to disappear fear. So that's what I came up with, and I presented that name to the board, and they rejected it. And so I had written it on this little yellow post-it on my desk, and I would see it. And at the time was the time that my sister had come to join Exhibit A, and it didn't work. And so I just thought, wow, disappear fear. Like, the more I thought about it, the more it seemed like a really cool name for a band, and Cindy and I were just starting singing together, and other than calling ourselves the Rutstein Sisters, we became Disappear Fear.
Okay, this would be a good time to mention that on your albums, your solo albums, you spell your name with all caps but a small I.
Yeah. I do that because it's just really sort of a checkpoint that we're all really just a small I, and kind of a reminder of keeping things in check as far as perspective and ego and judgment goes. Also, I like the shape of it. I like the way it looks, and when I put that down as a small I and raise the other ones up, it sort of gives it its own sort of sense of logo, regardless of wherever it is. It sort of makes it pop visually a little bit.
I've also seen on your site that your different names have been kind of a marketing disaster. It's Disappear Fear, it's Sonya, it's Sonya of Disappear Fear, it's Sonya and Disappear Fear.
Yes, that's true. Like if you want me on iTunes and you want a particular album, let's say you want Almost Chocolate, and you look up Disappear Fear, you won't find it under that, and you have to put in Sonya of Disappear Fear in order to get that particular CD. And the thing that's also frustrating about that, like on iTunes and I think Amazon as well, which are the two big ones, is that it doesn't cross-reference me. Like, for instance, it'll say, oh, Sonya sounds like Tracy Chapman or someone, and it won't say Sonya sounds like Disappear Fear. Well, you know, you'd think it would because it's all the same person, Disappear Fear, Sonya, Sonya of Disappear Fear, and Sonya and Disappear Fear are completely synonymous because it's all me on my songs. but yeah, it is. You have to do a little bit of work there.
Okay, looking at all the Disappear Fear and Sonya albums, I'm curious, which one has been the best-selling one?
That's a good question. I think it was Disappear Fear self-titled, but then I think moving into second place, then I think Me Too outsold that, and then No Bomb Is Smart outsold that. So I think No Bomb Is Smart at this point is the biggest.
Under just the name Disappear Fear, there were 5 CDs between the years 1988 and 1996, and I'll definitely volunteer that it was difficult choosing what songs to ask about, as I love so many of them. But I kind of settled roughly on one song per album, starting with the first album, Echo My Call, and the song From Baltimore to Anywhere.
Baltimore to Anywhere, wow. I wrote that in the living room of my one-bedroom apartment that I was sharing with my partner at the time. And it was very, very real. I was in the living room, and she was in the kitchen, and I was just sort of reflecting on the moment. It's a slow, sad song, but it's really more about hope and, you know, the next phase of things.
Scribble dates and round trip tickets to United Air Flight 79 from Baltimore to anywhere. I see LA in a pink Rolls Royce.
I'm going to slip in sort of a Hit Parade extra, a song Sonia sent me a few years ago. This is one of their very earliest recordings and one they contributed to a benefit cassette for the homeless in Baltimore, so it would be almost impossible to find, making it all the more appealing for me to share it with you. So we're having a Christmas in July moment with a little of their song, Christmas Makes Me Realize.
It's a song that I had written. I probably actually wrote it probably in 1984, 1985. I really wrote it about I was home by myself one Christmas, and my girlfriend was at home far away with her parents, and I was really, really missing her. That's where when I sat down and wrote that song. It's the line is, Christmas makes me realize how much I love you. So it was just a romantic moment, and Cindy and I sang it, and I played the guitar in the early days of Disappear Fear. That was the form, and that's really how the song happened. We were asked to donate a song to a compilation CD that was coming out for Christmas, and I think a lot of people were mostly just doing covers, but I had written this song, and I'd always wanted to record it, so that was my opportunity, and we did that.
All through the year, in the back of my mind I can hear the chimes of the snowy days drawing near. You can feel it in our neighborhood, even the bad boys are feeling good. Christmas makes me how much I love you. Christmas makes me realize how much I love you. Zip her up, 'cause it's cold outside, and I can't have you catching cold. Remember when we used to ask, will you still love me when I'm old? You can feel it in the neighborhood, even the bad boys are being good. Christmas makes me realize how much I love you. I love you. I love you, darling. Christmas makes me realize how much I love you.
This is Sonia of Disappear Fear, and you're listening to Queer Music Heritage.
And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Again, there's a part two of this show with much more of the music of Sonja. That's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Friday night, Saturday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. The second album by Disappear Fear was called Deep Soul Diver, and it contains one of their most popular songs, Sexual Telepathy.
Ooh. I guess I was nervous. That's always a thing, I think, in relationships where you're, or maybe in my relationships where you're just scared, okay, my partner's going to love someone or fall in love with someone, you know, who's more sexy than me, or, you know, who's got something better than me, and I'm kind of worried about it. So it always comes back to, you know, be true now. I know that we have something here, but I'm sort of worried about losing it.
One song that I don't think gets enough attention that I've always loved is from your Live at the Bottom Line album, It's Box of Tissues.
Ah, oh, that was an early favorite of a lot of Disappear Fear fans. That was a must-do at concerts, and I still get lots of requests for it. And in fact, when I was in Holland a little while ago, I did an impromptu concert, and the audience was singing the background vocals that Cindy used to sing on it, which is nice. I love it when the audience does that. In fact, it was that song that we sang in the offices of Freddie Beanstalk Publishing in London. You know, took out my guitar and the people were standing around the room. And the head of the company at the time said, after we did that song, sign them up. So that song was the song that really clinched our first publishing deal. So there you are. You got a good head for these things.
Well, I remember when you played, I've seen you many times, but I remember we were at the Mucky Duck in Houston, and I requested that song, and you did it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I love it. I love that song.
I put a box of tissues by my bed, 'cause I knew that I'd be up forever waiting for you. I put a box of tea.
From the 1994 Disappear Fear album, just called Disappear Fear, talk about the song Moment of Glory, please.
That song I wrote, most of it I was starting to really tour a whole lot. And I think what I was talking about in it is basically like I knew a lot of other, I didn't know a lot. I knew some other famous artists that were lesbians that were very much in the closet, enjoying a great deal of commercial success. And I was sort of reflecting on my own situation, you know, and like I couldn't do it that way. You know, I have to be who I am.
Nobody's gonna tell me. Nobody's gonna tell me what to feel. Me and Lisa bought a motorcycle. Strap my guitar next to her knapsack. She's my lover. She used to be my rival. And I don't want my money back. But I know.
That album has some very respectable help on it, like the Indigo Girls and Janice Ian.
Yes, yes, they came in to sing on it. Amy and Emily actually are on 3 of the 11 tracks on that CD. Yeah, and Janice does the guitar solo and also singing on Who's So Scared. She really loved that song. That was cool.
That's the next one I want to ask about. Talk about Who's So Scared.
Who's So Scared started as a poem by County Cullen. I took County's poem and I wrote this melody underneath it, and I went just naturally into that chorus, like, of Who's So Scared, like how that was such a stopping thing, like the question that seems to really inspire me to do something sometimes is, what would I do if I wasn't scared? You know, like, what would I do? And do that thing. So that's really the essence of that song. And then just bringing in the idea of not just racism, but homophobia, and bringing all that together. And then we had actually gone ahead and recorded it, and then the record label that was on Rounder Records had to get permission from the County Cullen estate to use that poem, and fortunately they said yes, and everything was fine.
Once riding in a Baltimore heart filled, head filled with grief, I saw a Baltimorean very small, and he was nowhere bigger, and so I smiled, but he pulled out his tongue and called me nigger. I saw the whole of Baltimore from May to December, of all the things that happened there, that's all that I remember. Yeah.
From Seed in the Sahara, I'd like to hear about BYOG.
BYOG. BYOG, Bring Your Own God. I was just, again, I was traveling. We toured so much. And I remember when I came up with that idea, BYOG, Bring Your Own God. And I just thought it's so applicable because we do bring our own God everywhere we are, whether that's the, you know, whether that's your position of that there isn't a God, being atheist or being agnostic or not, or whatever it is that you call your God. My idea with the song is really to take it from a personal place to the place of, it sort of goes in a backwards motion of a more general idea to a more specific idea and then to a very personal idea on the verses of the song.
I saw a man with no one to talk to. I saw my grandmother with no one to walk with. I saw my brother walking away. I saw my sister ask him to stay. Trying hard to remember what music means. Has he let fear corrupt his God. Rose in
How do you think your being open about being gay has affected your career?
I get asked that really a lot, and I never know how to answer it. I honestly don't know. For me, there would have been, JD, no other option. I have to use the palette that I use. I think it's unfortunate that a lot of people probably aren't going to get to hear my music because that's an issue for them. Hopefully, as time goes on, more people will get to hear it.
This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Music Heritage, and I want to thank you all for listening, and Sonia for the wonderful interview. Remember, you can hear more of the interview and listen to her talk about her recordings since 1998 at my website at queermusicheritage.com. Closing this part, I thought it appropriate to go back for one more song from the new release, Blood Bones in Baltimore, and ask her about the song, Call Me Sonia.
Call me Sonia. What was happening was this, is because this is a new genre for me, I thought maybe it'd be cool to do some more covers by some other blues artists, because God knows there's some great ones. And I asked some of my friends who I know are really into those genres, you know, if they had any samples of stuff that they thought I should hear. So they gave me, you know, hundreds of songs. And I was listening to their stories a lot. And finally, I was just thinking, you know, these are really personal stories. You know, everyone's got sort of a sad story. And it seemed sort of silly for me to be singing someone else's story. Not that I couldn't, but, you know, that I had a story as well. So one afternoon when I was listening to all this stuff, I just pulled out my guitar and I was just like, okay, this is my story in this moment. And I liked the way it sounded. It was either really going to be Sink or Swim. I think some people really like that song and some people will be like kind of, what is that? You know?
Call me Sonia, 'cause I play the pinkest blues. Stoned or sober, and it's all because of you. Sometimes she makes me so mad. Busted a soda can in her kitchen. Now I'm sticking to the floor. And that's the reason I am bitching. Call me crazy, 'cause I play the pinkest blues. To toss me out the door, since I'm the one shaking up the coke can, and that's the reason it exploded after a 9-hour lumpy bumpy ride in the van. Show tonight. Will you be coming back for more? Buy every CD I ever made. Wear my t-shirts, cutting up your wedding cake. Stick my bumper stickers on the back of your car. YouTube me a groovy, hokey pokey. Yes, blues. It's purple. Stoned or sober, and it's all